Peter DeBenedetis has announced he is running in the Democratic primary for governor of New Mexico. We recently sat down with him to learn a little bit more about why he is running. Mr. DeBenedetis, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Could you start off by introducing yourself to our audience?
Thank you. So I'm Peter DeBenedetis. People call me Peter D. It's easy to remember. P for progressive, D for Democrat. I've lived in Santa Fe since 1995. Before that, I spent a decade in Guam, where I ran political campaigns and actually got the governor of Guam elected. I worked in the legislature there, where I wrote legislation, and I also analyzed state agencies to eliminate wasteful spending. Since I've been in New Mexico, I've done youth alcohol and tobacco prevention statewide. I've talked to about 500,000 students in the state since, before I stopped counting. I've also done a lot of volunteer work for activism. I was the administrator of the Santa Fe Tobacco Free Coalition. We were the first city in New Mexico to go tobacco free, and now the whole state gets to enjoy smoke-free bars and restaurants. It's so nice. I spent the last 3 years working to raise alcohol taxes, 25 cents a drink, as a volunteer. The reason why is that our state wastes $800 billion a year to pay for the court cases and police and detention and ambulances and Medicaid surrounding alcohol abuse. We only get $46 million back in taxes because our legislature is just too corrupt to actually tax the people causing us these problems. Instead, they lay off teachers and things. So this is why I'm running, is to try to bring a progressive voice in and take care of the needs of real people.
You mentioned, you know, why you're running for governor. I'd like to hear from you. What do you think are New Mexico's biggest challenges right now?
So the biggest thing is we're poor. I mean, you know, we're last in everything. I could go through the list, but the thing that strikes me is that we're poor. We're number one in the nation in unemployment. We're number two in poverty. We have a third of our kids going to bed hungry at night. It is sinful that we do that to our children and to the people in New Mexico. And we have a lot of working poor. It's like 40% of the working families are below the poverty line. They work and they're below the poverty line. It's insane how we treat people in this state. I could go on and on with the list of how we're last in everything, but those are the issues that strike and break my heart when I'm on the campaign trail and I meet so many people struggling.
If elected, how do you feel you can really make an impact in facing these challenges?
So a couple of the biggest things we need is health care for all, single-payer health care for all, because that's what's breaking the bank for many families right now. You blow a tire and then you wonder, oh my God, can I fix it and get to work? Do I skip on my rent that month, or do I pay my health insurance? It's crazy. Right now, the New Mexico Health Security Act could be implemented for the same amount of total dollars that we're spending. Yeah, it'll be slightly different where it comes from, but for the same amount of total dollars we're spending, we could have health insurance for everybody in this state equal to or better than state employees get. That's because insurance companies right now pocket 14% of our premiums, and then they hire lawyers to deny our claims with that. And of course, we can make that happen if we have the political will to stop paying off the selfish interests. The biggest reason I'm running is because I'm a political outsider. I don't take any money from corporations. So when I say people first in my campaign, I mean that. Some of the other candidates are talking about health care, but if you follow the money, they take insurance, they take donations from those same insurance companies they say they're going to regulate. You do the math.
With health care, there is some things that, from what you said, you know, from New Mexico's point of view, dealing with health care, a lot of it is being handled at the federal level. There's a debate going on with healthcare. There was a debate going on. We expect there to be more conversations at the federal level and with what's happening with the Affordable Care Act. People say that it needs to be improved. Other people say that it needs to be repealed and replaced. Should it be repealed and replaced? What are your thoughts on how that could impact New Mexico?
So the federal thing is kind of interesting. There's a push now in the federal in Congress for Medicare for all. In fact, the Democratic bill is sponsored by 113 Democratic Congress people across the state. And guess what? Not a single New Mexico congressman, including the one running for governor, is a co-sponsor of Medicare for all. So it just boggles me the disconnect. Oh, I'm for health care, but I'm not going to co-sponsor this. Okay. We can't wait for the federal government. It's clear that you got the Congressman Pierce voting to strip Medicaid funding. Okay. You've got other folks who say I'm for it, but then don't actually sign on the bills. We can't wait for the federal government. We need the state solution which will be through the New Mexico Health Security Act. It's been around since 1993. It's the best statewide plan I've seen out of all of them across the country. It's been endorsed by 145 organizations around the country. We just need the political will to actually step forward and say, we're going to do this as a state.
Well, I mean, as a state, we're looking at nearly a million people that are on Medicaid. How can the Security Act really help keep people covered with health insurance?
So the way the money works is that we take the money that's being spent on Medicaid and we get a waiver from the federal government to spend it as the seed money for an entire statewide plan. In fact, the Republicans are pushing towards what they call block grants, which is exactly what we're asking for to do this. So I think both sides will let us end up doing this because this is the plan they're pushing. That becomes the seed. Anybody who has Medicare keeps it. Anybody who has Veterans Administration keeps it. Anybody who has Indian Health Services keeps it. The other 1.7 million of us become a pool, starting with the Medicaid money, then employers in ERISA, where they're required to buy insurance for their employees, they can buy the state plan. Single plan, one payment, cheaper than they're paying now, better coverage. So they'll come buying in. And then people from the exchange will also be able to buy in, but instead of all these confusing competing plans, one plan, caps on income so that you're not going to be busted for what it's going to cost you, and better premiums, better benefits.
Should Medicaid be cut or even set as a cap at the federal level, that may potentially lead to New Mexico picking up the tab for Medicaid for a lot of people here. How do you think that could impact this bill or even it being possibly passed?
So we're talking economy of scale. All right. So if you keep those categories of people who are already covered, you still have 1.7 million people left over in the state. When you start buying pool insurance for a pool that large, your rates go way, way down. The rate we can negotiate for drugs will be way lower. Also, it's going to help doctors a lot in that they now only have one person to bill instead of having three or four people dealing with multiple insurance companies denying claims. It's one person. So there's benefits at all levels. The bottom line is there's going to be so much cost saving involved. Right now, Medicare spends about 0.6% on administration. Okay? So instead of giving 14% to the insurance companies, we could do it for like about 1% here. So we're going to get 13% more healthcare just like that. So even though there will be financial pressures for the amount of money we're spending now or less, we can get much better healthcare by just saying we're going to stop paying off corporations who hire lawyers to deny claims.
Since traveling around the state, what are some of the issues that you think New Mexicans are dealing with on a daily basis that you think you can help with?
So poverty is huge. Poverty is absolutely huge, which is why we need a living wage of at least $15 an hour. But as governor, I'm going to look at the Department of Workforce Solutions to do a statewide survey to see what it really costs and set the living wage at that amount. If you take the minimum wage from 1965 and adjusted it for inflation, it should be $22.75 an hour now. We got $7.10. We got a third of what it should be. All right. Now, productivity has increased. Profits for the upper 1% have increased. But we keep that from our people in New Mexico. The top 20% of New Mexicans earn 17 times more than the bottom 20%. So poverty is the biggest thing. We need to grow the economy by watering its roots. One of the ways we can do that is to start to legalize recreational cannabis and fix the medical cannabis, and then legalize hemp production. Right now, there's like a waiting list. It's like almost 4 months to get your card to actually get, even when you have a doctor recommending it, to actually get medicine through the system. And then the system was set up by cronies of the current governor, so there's a very high entry fee to buy into producing medical cannabis plants. And the supply is so short because it's so limited that it costs about $12.50 a gram to get flower buds in this state. It should be about $2.50. But the people who are the cronies, like I'm saying, are happy to pocket that. So what we're going to do is we're going to fix that by getting rid of the waiting periods. We're going to get rid of the upfront fees to grow. We'll still keep standards up there. We'll legalize recreational cannabis, which will be instantly 16,000 jobs and $4 million more of economic activity. And then the entire hemp industry, which is great because we can do two crops a year in this state. It's like the best state in the country to grow hemp. I was looking at a group in Norway that is producing bulletproof vests out of hemp because it's lighter and stronger than Kevlar. There's so much we can do by just stop paying off the corrupt interest, ways to raise the wages, start to have local economic targeted development all around the state on small scale production of things like aquaponics for food. We import 94% of our food. We can fix this by raising wages and having small scale development for things that we consume in New Mexico.
You mentioned raising the wage. You know, what do you have to say to the small business owner who isn't wealthy, but, you know, would like to keep employing people, but is very concerned about how paying for labor costs is going to impact the growth of their business?
Velocity of money. 70% of the economy is driven by consumer spending. Okay. Now, remember I told you 40% of families are working and are still below poverty? Now, what if all of a sudden those families climb out of poverty? What if we see that 40% of families where their income doubles or triples? That's money they're going to spend when they go out to dinner. That's money they're going to buy their husband or their wife a new dress or a new tie for their birthday. This is money that instead of sitting there worrying about how they're going to pay their bills, they can actually afford to buy from local businesses. The economy is going to boom in every single municipality across the country that's have living wages. The economy has taken off. So the small businesses, we're going to implement it gradually so there's not a shock to the system. It'll be a dollar or so every year. Get implemented gradually, but then they're going to have one third to one half more sales in their businesses. I think every business wants that.
You have mentioned poverty. You know, what are some of the other ways besides the push to legalize recreational cannabis and raising the wage that you think New Mexico can, what are some of the things you can do that you think New Mexico can possibly accomplish in recruiting businesses to the state and growing the economy?
So first of all, we need to get rid of the whole trickle-down idea. It's not about giving tax breaks to bring businesses in because that just doesn't work, okay? We've been trickled on so long and we're still the poorest there is, okay? We got to get rid of that model entirely. We need to grow resources within the state for the stuff we consume here. And we're going to do that in two ways. One is 100% renewable energy. We're number two in the nation for best solar gain. We're number 12 in the nation for best wind farming potential. Okay? We need to, right now, we're paying one third to one half more to polluters, to people who use coal and nuclear power, which costs way more than wind and solar, because the legislature is just too corrupt to do anything about it. Just like, oh, they're just going to pay them off. We pay extra. We destroy the planet. Imagine we're having a governor who says, let's give targeted economic development loans. You need a wind farm? Here's some state land, okay? Let's get a cooperative together of this tribe or this county or this city or this school district. We get a cooperative together. They pay the fee for the state land, the use fee, and then we give them a loan and they start to build a wind farm or a solar array. What's going to happen is they'll take them 10 years to pay the loan off, but the consumers get lower prices. After that, they've got an income stream for 25 more years coming in that community can use instead of running to Santa Fe and begging for money. All the jobs. Right now, solar is the number one growth industry in the country, but not here in New Mexico because we're just kind of behind the curve paying off the polluters. We're going to supplement this with a state bank. The state has $15.8 billion in the land grant trust fund just sitting there. And we trust it to the Madoff types on Wall Street. You know, and they robbed us blind at Enron. They totally shut us down with the housing bubble, and not a single banker went to jail over that. And we're like, yeah, take our $15 billion. You can do it. No, no, no. We get a state bank. North Dakota's had one for almost 100 years, and they have never laid off employees. They've never had a budget deficit because whenever they have a shortfall, they borrow from themselves at a small interest rate. And when there's a bonus going on in the economy, they loan it out in small targeted loans. So we can do this with industries across the state. We can do this with solar power. We can do this with wind. We have the resources. We just have to keep it here instead of paying it off to bankers who export it overseas.
Speaking of export, New Mexico's been pretty good at exporting its young, talented people who get an education here and then are forced to leave and go to other states. What are some of the things that you think you could do if in office to prevent that from happening?
Well, first of all, we have to have a reason for them to stay, which is to grow the economy by watering the roots. I'm all for early childhood education. We should definitely have that because it's going to help more kids be prepared for school and more interested in school and do better in school. Take coding, for example. Right now, there are 1,400 empty jobs for computer programmers in the state, averaging $73,000 a year. And they're not filled because we don't have the talent that's been taught that. So we're going to start teaching computer science in elementary school, every school across the state, and we're going to have mandatory advanced coding and computer science classes in the high schools. They're optional. Students can take them whether they want to or not, but we're going to have them in every single school. Then we need to build up the infrastructure so that there is access to internet across this whole state. Right now, some of the current politicians, they call it public-private partnership, which is an excuse to, here, take tax dollars, build things, and then turn around and charge us for it. No. If we use tax dollars, the public has a stake in the profits as well, okay? I'm just tired of the looting New Mexico. So we start to build up the internet around the state. We do that again with these targeted economic development loans from the state bank. We then have the talent pool that's going to grow up with coding. Imagine if the film industry didn't send their films to Hollywood to be edited and we did all the post-production here. Imagine if we had all the clever people building apps. The largest single hotel chain in the country is Airbnb, and they don't own a single hotel room. The largest single taxi company in the world is Uber, and they don't even own a single car. The future is people doing programming, and we're so behind the curve on that. Early childhood education, teach it in schools, build up the infrastructure.
I had a chance to visit your website, and I noticed right away that you announced your candidacy as somebody who is not beholden to lobbyists or financial backers. You're in a primary with people who have a lot of money behind them already and have built up their campaign bank accounts. How do you think you can stay in this race in the primary running against people with millions and millions of dollars in their account?
So you actually hit the nail on the head. And fundraising is an issue for me because I'm not sucking up to big corporations. I'm not willing to sell us out like everybody else had. Right now, I'm banking on consciousness to make a difference. I don't take any corporate money. So when I say people first, I mean that in my campaign. And that's really clear by the issues that I'm advocating. Because the other candidates, you know, they say living wage, but they take money from corporations. Honestly, you expect that to happen. They say renewable energy, they take money from polluters. Honestly, you think that's going to happen? Bernie Sanders got 48.5% of the Democratic vote last time. Okay, I'm banking on the fact that Sanders voters were, one, more attentive to issues, and two, therefore more likely to vote. So let the other three candidates fight it out. You know what's going to happen a month or two before the primary? They're going to do their polls, and two of the three are going to be losing. Okay, and then they're going to freak out. I've spent $1 million and I'm losing. What do I do? And their consultants are going to say, go negative. And then they're going to get this ugly thing that we always see because they think government is done best by people who say the ugliest thing in 30 seconds. It's insane. And they're going to kill each other. And I'm going to rise from those ashes at the end of this and say, seriously, folks, is this what you want? More of that? Or are you willing to do something different? You know, Anthony, if you only choose between big name candidates and big money candidates, you have a ruling class. I don't think people want that anymore. They're seeing through how politics is a sham for many, many politicians. They're seeing through that. People are getting smarter. If we vote same old, we're going to get same old. How many times have you seen a Democratic candidate win the primary and then they said great things in the primary, but then they run to the center in the general and then they get elected and they forget what they've promised? People aren't going to fall for that again.
I'd like to hear your thoughts on how New Mexico's legislative system is set up right now. The sessions are 30 days and 60 days. What are your thoughts on the session in New Mexico? Do you think that is really long enough to really deal with the problems in the state?
So I think the session setup is secondary. There are problems, clearly. There's not enough time. And because it's not a paid position, then you either have to be wealthy or sell out. So it's like designed for corruption. So you have to be retired, wealthy, or sold out to get in there.
Well, let me address this point you bring up right now. Do you think that New Mexico legislators should be paid?
I think we should have public financing for campaigns to start with. And then I don't know the answer about they should be paid. I have to research that more to find out if that's going to make a difference or if it's just going to institutionalize the corruption. The sessions definitely need to be longer. We need to have public financing to take the money out of the politics. Otherwise, it's just going to be more of the same old, same old.
All right, Mr. DeBenedides, thank you so much for joining us.
Can I just say one thing to close?
Sure.
So I'm really worried about the future of the Democratic Party. That's why I'm running. That's why, even though I'm an outsider, I'm asking people to give me a look. Right now, the Democrats of today, policy-wise, are indistinguishable from Republicans of 15 or 20 years ago. We've become corporatist. We've run to the center. Right now, my own congressman up in Santa Fe, Ben Ray Lujan, he's the head of the Democratic National Campaign Committee. He just said that we're going to endorse and fund candidates who are anti-choice. We've just sold out women's rights now because they think they need to win. They keep chasing the Republicans, and now we've become Republican light. I'm asking people to vote for values and stop that right now. Thanks for giving me a look.
Peter DeBenedides is running for the Democratic nomination for governor of New Mexico.